Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know who Heidi Klum is, don't you?
Yes.
Heidi Klum, a German supermodel. Well, she used to be a supermodel. She's 46 right now, and she just married some young guy, and she was on her honeymoon, and she ended up posting a picture of herself topless while on her honeymoon this past weekend. And, well, she's 46 years old, posting a topless picture of herself on her Instagram. And, of course, the social media warriors, a lot of them went nuts. And here she is trying to show people she's happy. She's getting married to this guy who's 17 years younger than her. Heidi Klum being a cougar. And she can't even post a topless picture of herself on her own Instagram without getting harassed.
Yeah, what does this world come to?
By some of the people on social media. They're saying that she's too old to be doing that. And some people also said, well, quote, all I see is midlife crisis, unquote. Somebody wrote that. I mean, this poor woman's trying to enjoy her honeymoon, and she is happy with how she looks at 46 years old. And so she decided to share that picture with her Instagram followers. But then you got people who are ripping her, telling her she's too old to be doing that. And then one person wrote, how embarrassing. This is what one person wrote.
Yeah, it says, bro, do you even lift? Oh, no, wait, that's something else.
One person wrote, do you even think about how embarrassing your behavior is for your children? I just say, why? And then other people are saying no woman should be doing this with children at home. I mean, look, Heidi Klum was a supermodel. There's a gazillion pictures of her out there. I mean, she just happens to be 46. She's a cougar. She married a guy 17 years younger than her. She wanted to share it with the world. And there are always people out there who are going to ruin something nice for everybody. And now this is going to make her think twice before.
Oh, it will not. You think it will?
Posting topless pictures of herself.
You think someone who would actually do that will now think twice about doing it again? I don't think so.
You never know.
I support her. I support her.
Well, and you know, that's one of the things about social media. People can say whatever they want. And that's what they do.
Well, apparently not, though, because this whole group of warriors, as you call them, they're telling her she can't do that.
They can say whatever they want, and.
But they're saying that she can't post whatever she wants. What's the difference? It's all about tolerance. That's what I say. It's all about the children.
See, I don't have enough time in the day, or maybe I do, to argue with people and be negative on social media.
You used to do it at 4 in the morning, but now you're up here doing the show.
It was a long time ago. I think that's when I realized, what are you doing? Life's too short to be arguing with people on social media, people that you don't even know. But yet there's plenty of people out there that have nothing better to do than to rip Heidi Klum for posting a topless picture of herself on social media. And
Well, the thing that that's similarly related, I guess, and I would imagine that to comment on this, you have to follow Heidi Klum, and it always amazes me, people that seemingly follow either a product or a page or a thing or a company or a restaurant or what have you, just so they can purely troll. Like they have nothing good to say about anything that entity posts. Well, then why do you follow it? That's what I don't understand. That's what begs the question to me. What are you doing? Life is too short. You're actually going to follow a bunch of Facebook pages and then rip everything that they post or do. And you know who you are.
Do you have to be a follower of Heidi Klum on Instagram to comment on her picture topless?
I'm not sure. That I'm not sure. I guess you could search. I don't know. I'll have to try that out.
And again, social media, you could say whatever you want. The only thing I don't like about it, besides being life's too short to sit there and be negative and argue with people that you don't know on social media, when people do it anonymously,
right?
That's what drives me crazy. When you just see people, like we talked about it last week, there was an incident with one of the local newswomen here in New Orleans, Sheba Turk. Someone didn't like her hair and made a racist comment.
No, but again, they did not do that via social media. They sent the station, Channel 4 in this case, an email. It's a little bit different.
But that was anonymous. They didn't say who they were.
They used a name that sounds like it's made up.
Yeah, they used a made-up name. Right. And if you're going to do something like that, at least if you're going to say be racist and hateful like that, say something awful like that, at least have the guts to put your own name on the email that you're sending.
By the way, I just did a little Instagram research, and I don't happen to be a follower of Heidi Klum, although if she's going to post naked pictures, I may reconsider that. But I did pull up one of her recent posts, and yes, I could make a comment on that without being one of her followers. Now, I would imagine there might be some settings that you could change to where she could preclude that, and some Facebook pages, I think, are able to do that as well, to make it so that you have to be a liker or a follower or whatever. That's making my head hurt even thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, I hope Heidi keeps doing what she's doing.
Yes.
God bless her. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So, the writer for the Times-Picayune / New Orleans Advocate, NOLA.com, the writer, Ian McNulty, are you familiar with him? He talks about restaurants and food, and he talks about lifestyle events in and around New Orleans. He wrote a story that popped up on NOLA.com last night where he went and bought 3 chicken sandwiches and ate them all back to back to back. Something we've been talking about on the show.
I thought we resolved this yesterday, no?
Well, he wanted to do it, this Ian McNulty character. So he went to Popeyes, he went to Chick-fil-A, and he went to also Raisin Cane's, and then he went to Wendy's, because he was talking about how ever since Popeyes introduced their new chicken sandwiches, there's 2 of them, a week or 2 ago, that's all he's been hearing about. And not just that, but he's seen the chicken sandwich battles on social media. And so he said he wanted to give his opinion. And he went to all of these places in Elmwood, which are all right near each other, and he went to the drive-thru of each place. And look, I mentioned a couple of days ago how I absolutely loved the Popeyes chicken sandwich. I know someone texted in when we were talking about it yesterday, and someone didn't like it. Someone texted in and said it was too much batter, and then said maybe my taste buds have been spoiled by all the alcohol that is here in the
is
city
that what
of
they
New
said?
Orleans.
I already forgot what
it was
they said.
There was something like that, but I absolutely love the Popeye sandwich. But this guy Ian McNulty, the writer for the New Orleans Advocate, Times Picayune, NOLA.com. He's on record now. He's officially on record. And he did say, in Louisiana, you would think Popeyes and Raising Cane's would have a home field advantage because they both started here, even though Popeyes long ago moved their headquarters out of Louisiana. But their first store ever was in Araby. And then Raising Cane's is out of Baton Rouge. And wouldn't you know, Ian McNulty said, number one, Popeyes. Number two, Raising Cane's. Number three, Chick-fil-A. And then he said, number four, he said, Wendy's shouldn't have even gotten involved in this. But they just have creative marketing people on social media, on Twitter. This is what he said about the Popeyes. He said, clearly the best of the bunch when it came to the chicken sandwich. He said, just like Popeyes fried chicken from the box, only without the bones. I ordered mine spicy because I always prefer Popeyes spicy. That means it's not really spicy, just, well, seasoned with more than just salt. The spice is in the batter, not a sauce added after. The coating is the thing. It is thick and crisp with that crunch you hear in the back of your ear and wonder if others can hear it too. And then he says in parentheses, answer, yes, they can. Against a chewy bun, a trickle of sauce that mostly tastes like thin mayo and the pickles, it's still the texture of the chicken that sells this sandwich. And he's saying, for fast food, and by the way, he stressed that he's just talking about fast food chicken sandwiches, because he named some other people in the beginning of the article, some restaurants in New Orleans that have really good chicken sandwiches.
You've got to keep the playing field level just to not cloud the conversation.
His only issue, though, he said, it took him 17 minutes from when he pulled in the parking lot to get his order filled. And he said for fast food, you know, but he said that the Popeye's chicken sandwich at $3.99, he said, was the best. He said Raising Cane's came in second. And he said, like I mentioned, Chick-fil-A came in third, barely, he said. And then he said Wendy's came in fourth. Nice try, but not in the same league as those other three. So there you go. You got a professional guy who writes about food and other things here around New Orleans, and he's actually even weighed in now on the fast food chicken sandwich battle, the fight. And by the way, all of these sandwiches, they are fried chicken sandwiches. They're not the grilled chicken. They're the fried chicken. So, but boy, that Popeyes thing was spectacular, and I'm not the only one. So, enjoy, get out there and enjoy. And then if you eat a couple of these things, do a little exercise. Go take care of yourself. But according to Ian McNulty, a writer for the Times Picayune and New Orleans Advocate, NOLA.com, he agrees with me. Good. All right, coming up on the show. In Mandeville, the police there are looking for someone who pretended to be a police officer. Hey, we just talked about that the other day. And remember I said, how many stories have we read about people who pretend to be police officers? This guy went into a discount zone gas station in Mandeville wasn't happy about the bathroom, whipped out a badge, urinated on the car in the parking lot. We'll get into it coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Just reading about this 109-year-old guy who lives in Covington, and he still drives a car. His name's Philip Sharp. And if you're on the road in and around Covington, you just may pass history if you pass him. That's history behind the wheel. He drives a pickup truck. He's got to be the oldest guy driving, not only in Covington, maybe not even only in Louisiana or the South. I mean, how many other 109-year-old people are driving vehicles in the United States of America?
Too many.
And he's going to turn 110 pretty soon, in a few months. I mean, he was born in 1909, the first year Abraham Lincoln's face was on the penny. And he drives around a pickup truck, and he goes and he meets his friends for lunch. Which I haven't driven in a while. I mentioned I've got to go see Ronnie Lamar. It's time for me. I mean, I enjoy walking around. I get exercise, but I need a car. I got to go see. Go to the big store in Kenner. But this guy, he's 109 years old, still on the go, still behind the wheel. He said, "Quote: I drove an old T model. I drove a truck. I drove everything but an 18-wheeler." He said.
I think it'd be Model T.
He said he called it a T model.
A T model.
He said, I drove an old T model.
A T model.
Yeah. Well, he's 109.
Well, that's, yeah. Good point.
He remembers time before electricity. He said a luxury, he said, his family did not have until the 1940s. He was born in 1909. So he lived from 1909 until the 1940s without electricity. I mean, you think how difficult it must be living without air conditioning. This man lived without, heck, without the air conditioning. He lived without electricity. And so he says that he's still in good health. He takes no medicine, only a multivitamin. So I thought that was a pretty cool story. So if you see a really old
making
guy...
Making the citizen of the day.
Yeah. If you see a really old guy driving a pickup truck in Covington, I think you're seeing history. You're really witnessing that. Coming up next on the show, police are looking for a guy in Mandeville who pretended to be a cop. Another one of these. We'll explain what he did coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Just the other day on the show, we told you the story about this loser up in New York on Long Island who was pulling cars over and pretending to be a police officer. And then he made one mistake. He pulled over the wrong car. It happened to be a van full of detectives from one police department up there, and it got himself arrested. And when I was talking about that, I said, that happens a lot around here. I've seen that in and around the New Orleans area. I've seen over the past several years, a bunch of people get arrested for pretending to be police officers. And then we started saying, why would anyone do that? And I brought up the fact that when I was 16, I had a Chevy El Camino that had square headlights. It looked like a cop car. And, you know, I was a 16-year-old idiot. A couple friends of mine would grab some blinking lights from a construction site and then pull people over. But all I would do would just drive. Once we did that, I would just take off and floor it. I never got out of the car. I never walked up to the car and pretended to be a cop like some of these other people did. We were just 16-year-old idiots. Didn't do that very long. Well, it happened again locally, this time in Mandeville. Man pretends to be police officer, urinates on business owner's car. Now a police officer wouldn't do that. So I think that was one of the first clues that he wasn't a police officer. A police officer would not urinate on the...
I don't know if you got to go. You got to go. We've all been there.
If you watched the local news last night, perhaps you saw the video. He was wearing a Drew Brees jersey. He was wearing a number 9 Saints dark jersey. And evidently, he walked into this gas station convenience store on Sunday night. And he wanted to use the bathroom. But he walked over to the bathroom and the door was locked. And I guess there were a couple of people in line. So he stood behind the people in line. And all he did was whip out his wallet. His wallet came open and you saw a badge. And he was just standing there showing the person who worked behind the counter his badge. And I think that was him trying to say, unlock the bathroom door. But evidently the employee did not unlock the bathroom door. According to a real Mandeville police officer, they said that, quote, he did identify himself specifically as a Mandeville police officer. And we can tell you that he is not. Evidently, he became irate because the door to the men's room was locked. So I'm trying to think. See, I always try to put myself in these people's shoes who were talking about in these stories. Okay, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Where's my fake badge?
No, I go in there, and if the door is locked, I don't have a fake badge on me, but I guess I would. If the bathroom door was locked, I guess I would wait my turn in line to then say to the cashier, you got a key or how do you have to...
Yeah, but see, you have the advantage of playing Mr. Radio Big Shot. Be like, oh, I'm John Osterlin from the radio. I have to go to the bathroom. You've done that before. Come on. Come on, don't fib.
There's a lot of people who don't listen to this show.
Oh. Well, to hell with them.
And you say something like that, and someone would say, I don't care who you are.
Right.
The damn door's locked.
Hold it.
So this happened Sunday night about 8:15. This was at the Mandeville Discount Zone on Highway 22. So according to the police report, he ended up urinating on the owner's vehicle. So I guess the owner of the gas station convenience store happened to be working there. Because the police report says he ended up urinating on the owner's vehicle. When he was confronted by the owner, he did pull out a badge and police officer's commission card, is what it looked like. He pulled that out of his wallet, according to the Mandeville Police Department. So they are looking for this guy, and he is clearly on video. You can see him. And he's not making the Saints look good. He's not making Drew Brees look good. Or he's not making people who can at least act like adults and human beings look good. And I wonder how he knew that that was the owner's car. Maybe it was the only car parked in the parking lot. I don't know. But, anyways, if you've seen that video, if you just let the Mandeville police know they're looking for that character. Coming up on the show, we have a story, a Supreme Court case that they're ruling on. And all I'm going to say is that it's from three women. Three women brought it. And they're not happy that men are allowed to walk around and show their nipples in public, but women aren't. This is a fascinating Supreme Court case. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Yesterday, we told you the story of how a pit bull saved his owner who was fishing, and the owner ended up, a 6-foot shark ended up on the fishing rod. And the owner, the next thing you know, the shark is on the owner and biting his leg. He hit an artery, and the pit bull's owner was screaming. The pit bull was in the car, jumped out of the car, and jumped on top of the shark and saved his owner. And it was a great story. Northern California in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I said, I brought up that story because you never hear any good news when it comes to pit bulls. Anytime pit bulls are in the news, it's always bad news because, well, bad news is what sells. So, and the only time we ever read about pit bulls is when they're mauling or attacking people. Well, after I did that story, somebody sent me another story about a pit bull saving the day. And this happened in June. Pit bull drags baby by diaper from burning house, saving the whole family. But that, it was just another night in a Stockton, California house. Boy, this family has some name. Chichanda. It's the Chichanda house in Stockton, California. And Nana Chichanda, evidently her apartment caught on fire, was on the verge of burning from the fire. Their 8-month-old pit bull became a hero. Sasha.
Sasha Chichanda.
Well, no, Sasha the pit bull.
Right.
Was outside, but started barking at Nana's door.
Some people give their animals their last name.
And when Nana heard...
Chichanda.
Sasha, when Nana heard Sasha barking from outside, that's very much out of character for this dog.
How about for Nana?
Well, Nana realized, and Nana was keen and quick to sense the fire in a neighboring apartment, and promptly she was warning everybody. And Nana is the mother dog. And Nana
Chichanda.
Yes, another pit bull. And Nana started barking as well because her 8-month-old puppy was barking. And the next thing you knew, they got outside. The apartment building next door was on fire, and one of the pit bulls ran in and grabbed a baby by the
diaper.
How about that? And pulled it out. Some good pit bull news. That's 2 days in a row with good pit bull stories.
You made this whole thing up, didn't you?
No, it's a true story. Oh, a true story. So I'm sure some bad pit bull news will be coming in the future. Coming up next, it's Why Today Doesn't Suck, is what we call that. We look at today in history here on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at history. Today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
August 21st. It was today in 1944.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The seeds of the United Nations are planted. Representatives from the United States, Great Britain, the Soviet Union, and China. They all met in Washington, D.C., in Georgetown, to formulate the formal principles of an organization that will provide collective security on a worldwide level. And just think, the whole United Nations, they started talking about it today, and they put it in Manhattan, and it's very prized real estate, and boy, they take advantage of that over there.
And it really messes up Midtown traffic. I mean, alternate side parking in effect it on 10-10 winds. I don't know.
It sure does. And today, August 21st, Hawaii became the 50th state in America. And that's the last state that we've had. And I know we've had this discussion before, Brewster. I'm all for adding a couple of more states. But
of course you are.
Because we haven't added one in a long time. And I don't know if I know that we want to buy Greenland, the biggest island in the world. Now, I don't know if that would be the 51st state. I don't know if that ever happened. Greenland says they're not for sale, but I'd like to see something like that.
Yes, you would. It was on this date. You didn't tell us what year that was, by the way. We like to, today in history, we'd like to know the year.
1959?
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Thank you. It was on this date, August 21st in 1982.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
U2's Bono marries longtime girlfriend Alison Stewart in Dublin, Ireland. Unlike most rock and roll marriages, I believe that couple, those kids are still together today, if I am not mistaken. It was on this date, August 21st. 1994.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Metallica performs the final date of their three-year tour in support of the Black Album, the eponymously titled the fifth album, at Bicentennial Park in Miami. During that show, Judas Priest singer Rob Halford sang guest vocals on a rendition of their song, Rapid Fire. And while touring in support of Metallica, they performed over 300 concerts. In rock and roll lawsuit news, on this date, August 21st, 1995.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
1995, REM files a trademark infringement suit against the Hershey Corporation, claiming they launched an unauthorized Kit Kat / REM concert promotion for free tickets and trips, alleging injury to business reputation, false advertising, and deceptive practices. It doesn't say here whether or not REM won that lawsuit. I will do additional research and try to have that by this date next year.
And August 21st, it was today in 1983.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The guitar player for the Ramones, Johnny Ramone, had a four-hour brain surgery operation. He was found unconscious on a New York street. He was involved in an accident, and they realized that he needed that surgery, and they took care of that, and he ended up living many more years.
I think they're all, haven't they all?
The four original ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only one left, that they had a couple of different drummers. And one of the drummers is the one who's left. And as a matter of fact, they're on tour right now with that drummer and a bunch of other guys.
Well, on that sad note, that's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
You see who's just filed for divorce? Larry King. He's 85 years old.
At least. He's at least 85.
And he's been married to this woman who's much younger than him for 22 years. Her name is Shawn King. And evidently, there's been all kinds of rumors that she might have, like when he goes to sleep at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. I don't know. Ever since he, you know, doesn't have that show on CNN anymore.
Right. Well, she was the former Sean Southwick, and she was on, I want to say, not headline news, but she was one of those news reading, like infotainment reading babes. And she has or had a little bit of a speech impediment. That's what I remember about Sean Southwick.
Well, for the last 22 years, she's been Larry King's wife. And again, he's 85. She's 59. So you do the math. And, you know, what's interesting about Larry King, he's had heart issues before. He's had heart attacks before. I remember when he had his show on CNN, he would talk about how he thought he was dead a few times, and yet he keeps coming back, and they keep propping him up. Now, he does an infomercial, but it looks like he's sitting on the CNN set,
right.
And it looks like he's interviewing people just like right. He did when he had his old show.
Right.
So it leads me to believe that he might think he's still doing that type of a show. He just happens to be talking about the same thing every time.
Right.
He opens up, turns on the microphone.
It's one of those sort of supplements or juicers or just one of those. I put it in that category of late night infomercial type products. But you're absolutely right. It's the desk. It's the black set with the colored lights, and it's I can believe that Larry thinks he's doing his show, and they're just like, Larry, read this, and we'll 22 minutes, we'll be done.
And they let him say some of the old things that he used to say right. during this infomercial. Right. The other night I was flipping through, and he said, Cleveland, what do you think about this
right.
product?
Right. East Undershirt, Kansas, hello.
Yeah, this is some product, huh? So, who knows if that'll be the last marriage for 85-year-old Larry King.
Right.
But these two did have, they do have two children, two boys, a 20-year-old and a 19-year-old, meaning that when he was 665 and 64 months.
That's enough. I don't want to think about that.
And isn't it something, I guess you would think if you got a marriage that's separated by this many years in age, you would think the younger one would be the one that said, you know, maybe Larry's getting a little bit too old. But evidently he's got money. And that's,
well, that's the key right there. Do you have any idea how much he's worth? He is worth a fortune.
I bet you that's the things we're going to be reading about next when it comes to these two, some sort of some sort of divorce settlement.
Palimony.
How much she's going to get, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I just saw that, and I hope these two can find happiness. Coming up on our show, the Supreme Court, it looks like, is going to hear a case from these three women who say, and they're from New Hampshire, they say it's sexist that men are allowed to walk around outside showing their nipples and women aren't. One woman got arrested up there in New Hampshire, and then when two other women heard about it, they decided to go topless, and they got arrested too. Well, now the Supreme Court's going to hear this. I got more details coming up, and I think this is very sexist, how only men are allowed to do that in public, show nipples. And in this hashtag MeToo movement, I think the women may be onto something here. Stay tuned for that coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, the city of New Orleans has some pretty cool murals if you look around. I mean, there's a bunch of graffiti in New Orleans, too, and some people would call some murals graffiti, but there are some pretty cool murals in the city of New Orleans. Someone just painted a mural of basketball legend Larry Bird in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's his home state. And Larry Bird is not happy with the mural. Larry Bird is wearing his college jersey, Indiana State University, and he's got
the Sycamores.
And he's got tattoos.
Yeah, that's not Larry.
On his arms. And that's what Larry Bird is unhappy about.
Right.
Larry Bird had one of the best games of his NBA career, of his life, here in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. A game that he played for the Celtics against the Atlanta Hawks. That was back in the day when the Atlanta Hawks played a couple of home games at the UNO Lakefront Arena. Larry Bird, one of those nights at the Lakefront Arena, I think it might be the only time he ever played there. He threw at least 60 points. He wasn't missing. It was incredible. But anyways, when he found out about this mural of him in Indianapolis, and he's covered in tattoos, he doesn't like it.
May I describe for our listeners some of the items on the Larry Bird mural? I almost said Larry King. Larry Bird mural. He's got on the left shoulder, he's got the spider web. Now, I'm sure these in tattoo culture, of which I'm not a part, I'm sure these have various meanings. Okay? Under his neck, it is, I guess that says Hoosiers in sort of that old English type font or script. There is 76 on his right shoulder. There is a heart with a banner across that says Muck Rock. I don't know what that means. On his right forearm, there are what appears to be two rabbits copulating. Don't get that. His right hand, a basketball. His left forearm, Indiana, kind of in the style of the Hoosiers, where he did not go. I don't know, maybe it says state.
Did he go one semester and he didn't like it and he left?
No, that's true. And then it appears to be maybe a Celtics logo on his left arm. But then curiously, on his left cheek, there is a cardinal. And in college basketball, that would be a Louisville cardinal. And I have no idea why that is.
Well, Larry saw it. He's not happy about it. He called his lawyer, and now his team has contacted the person that painted the mural. And I wonder if the tattoos were different, if he had no tattoos, if Larry wouldn't have a problem with that. His lawyer said, quote, Larry's position is he has elevated himself from where he began to where he is now through a lot of hard work. He has developed a brand that is marketable, and he needs to protect that brand. The mural, as originally painted, was a departure from that brand.
And if you back out from that, apparently they didn't ask him his opinion of this at all, which I think could have gone... I don't think he would have given his approval to this mural as it is.
It says Muck Rock because the street artist who painted it, his name is Jules Muck.
Okay. Now, I see some of his other works, and it does have that as well.
And Jules Muck's camp now is saying that he was contacted to just paint something on the side of the building. Jules Muck. She's a woman, and she said that many people reached out suggesting that she paint Larry Bird. And then she found the cover of a 1977 Sports Illustrated with Larry Bird on it. Somebody sent that to her, and that's what sealed the deal, because he was still at Indiana State University. And that's something. I mean, he's that big where you know, most of us probably wouldn't care if someone painted a mural of us on a building, and even if we had tattoos on the mural that we didn't have in real life. But,
Some people
say 98% of the NBA players are tattooed. Maybe he's part of that 2%.
Well, I think that's part of the offense on his part is to pull someone from another era and make them in a stylized fashion appear to be of this era, of this tattoo culture era. Not that there's anything wrong with tattoos, but most of these have no meaning toward him. The rabbits are apparently a signature of the artist, Jules Muck. But this is not a billboard. This is not really on the side of it's on the side of a
apartment building.
Yeah, it's in Fountain Square. It's on the side of a condominium, basically.
Yeah.
In an area where they have tried to fix that up along White River. I happen to know a lot about Indianapolis, having spent a lot of time there.
Well, we'll see what happens if they...
Lawsuit.
Well, if they're just going to take it down, or maybe they'll eliminate the tattoos, or maybe they'll... Who knows what they're going to do. But Larry Bird, not happy about a mural that was painted in his home state of him in Indiana. Mm. Coming up next on the show, this case, look, it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and they're simply calling it Free the Nipple. Some women are taking this all the way to the Supreme Court, and we're going to explain coming up next. Here on Bayou 95.7.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So the Supreme Court, if they decide to deal with this case, if they decide to rule on this case, because, as you know, the Supreme Court, our highest court in the land, they get tons and tons and tons and tons of cases, and they only rule on the ones that they feel are the most important ones that need to be ruled on. And I would think this one would be up there. I really do. And we're going to find out soon if they're going to rule on this one. These three women from New Hampshire have their case in the Supreme Court, and they're hoping the Supreme Court decides to rule on it, their right to be topless, their right to show their nipples, just like men have the right to show their nipples.
Can I go ahead and absentee vote now?
Look, and in this hashtag MeToo movement, I think women, for too long, they've been taking a backseat to men. And I think now is the time where equality is in the air. I can see it. I can smell it. Equality is in the air here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to prove a point. Because today's August 21st in New Orleans, and it's so bleeping hot outside.
How hot is it?
When this show's over at 10 o'clock, I'm going to walk downstairs. I'm going to leave the studio, walk downstairs. We're on Poydras Street. I'm going to open the door. I'm gonna walk out on the Poydras Street. I'm taking my shirt off, and I'm just gonna sit in front of the building for a few minutes. See, I can do that. You can do that, Brewster. If you're a man and you're listening right now, you can do that. You know who can't do that? Women.
Can I just jump out the 8th floor window here behind me? I'll just go out that way.
With a shirt on or off?
You know, that's to be determined.
But why can I do that?
I just don't want to land on your side of the building.
If we're supposed to be equal, men and women, if we're supposed to be equal, why can I walk outside of our office door on Poydras Street, take my shirt off, and sit there for 10 minutes, maybe have a muffin or a bagel?
You sat here for 4 hours one day with no shirt on.
Well, that was
a different story.
Yeah. Why, if I can do that, why can't, let's say, Kat do that? Why can't Kat walk with me today? Because it's August 21st in New Orleans. It's so hot outside. I just want to, you know what? I can't take it. I want to walk outside onto Poydras Street, take my shirt up, and why can't I ask Kat to join me and do the same? Well, anyways, these three women and this one picture I'm looking at of this one woman, I'm going to get this up on the website because she's big. I mean, she's very large, and she's, I mean, I guess different strokes for different folks, but she's got a huge, huge belly and midsection. But she's being interviewed by someone about this, and she just has her hands over her nipples, which it's sad that she has to do that. But this one woman, this started in 2016 in Laconia, New Hampshire. This one woman named Ginger Piero got arrested at a beach in Laconia, New Hampshire. Why was she arrested? For performing yoga while topless. She was on the beach. She was hot. She wants to do yoga, much like the men. If the men are on the beach and they're hot and they want to do yoga, they don't have a shirt on. So why does she have to have a shirt on? Because a city ordinance there bars, quote, the showing of the female breast with less than a fully opaque covering any part of the nipple, unquote. So when she got arrested, it made news up there in Laconia. Two other women. One's named Heidi Lilly, and that's the one with the really big belly. And the other's name is Kia Sinclair. They went to the beach in Laconia. They took off their tops, and they did yoga, and they got arrested too. So now you got three of them. The women challenged their convictions all the way through the different court levels of the state of New Hampshire. Remember, they're live free or die. That's their state motto up there. And they lost at each level, and it got to the New Hampshire Supreme Court, and it was defeated. It was defeated there as well. So they said, you know what? You know, some people usually say, this is where we tighten up our pants and we're going to really get tough. We're going to roll up our sleeves. These women, they're going to take off their tops and they're going to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. Hopefully, and we're going to find out in October if the United States Supreme Court will hear this case. I mean, I believe it's either 98 or 99% of the cases they get, because they get so many cases. They just don't have, there's not enough time. I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg isn't going to be alive that much longer.
I was going to say, what year did she pass away?
Well, she's still there. But I hope they decide to take this one up. Because, look, I'm a feminist, all right? And I can't have my sisters being second-class citizens to us dudes. Didn't we learn anything with the hashtag MeToo movement, the hashtag Time's Up movement? Besides treating women like sexual entities, we need to treat women like they're equal. I mean, do you agree with me or do you disagree? Or do you think, well, no, we're still not ready for women's nipples in public yet? I mean, really?
It's not a big deal in Britain. They famously have the Page Three girls in the newspaper.
Not just Britain, all over Europe, Brewster. In
Correct.
France, the nipples are flying all over the place. Hairy armpits and nipples.
Now, wait a minute.
I mean, if you're listening, are you with me or do you think, no, we're not ready yet to be walking down the street? Sure, it's okay to see men's nipples. To me, that's sexist, and I think you're being sexist if you think that way. Why is it okay to see man's nipples but not women's nipples? Just because there's a little more oomph behind those nipples?
And should there be music with the segment? I think so. I think yes.
Do you want to live in a country where we can see men's nipples in public, but we're not allowed to see women's nipples? I mean, I thought this was 2019. I thought women are supposed to be on an equal level, equal playing field when it comes to the men. I hope. As a matter of fact, I may pray that the Supreme Court...
Wait, that's different music. Hang on.
That the Supreme Court decides to rule on this case. How do you think they would rule if they decided to rule on this case? And I think the hashtag MeToo movement, I think a lot of this stuff, I think it's in favor of the women finally becoming equal to men. But if you ask me, it's a sexist law. Sure, if the Supreme Court... In the name of the Father, Son...
Et cetera, et cetera.
I don't ask for much. But I am interested in the Supreme Court. I've always found the Supreme Court fascinating. It's the highest court in the land. Mm-hmm. Could you please let them, someone there, make this particular case, the three New Hampshire women who want nipple equality? Can you let the Supreme Court rule on this case, handle this case? Because I don't know about you, but I'm all for nipple equality.
Can you pray a little faster?
In the name of the Father.
Don't be a boob.
Well, hopefully we'll have some great news coming up this October about this. Tired of this country being sexist and demeaning towards women. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Coming up next on the show, the federal government just told us how warm our houses should be. And they're out of their minds. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Coming up 30 minutes from now, we're going to talk to Keith Spira. He's the music writer for the New Orleans Advocate, Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. And he went to the Queen show last night. And, you know, I wanted to go to that show. I had a busy day yesterday, but I still could have went. But it was late, and it's a school night, and we got to be here early in the morning. So I'm excited to talk to Keith Spira.
In 30 minutes, and sadly, some of you coming in, from Points West, Kenner, LaPlace, et cetera. Ahead of you, if you're just tuning in, an accident this morning, I-10 at Clearview has eastbound traffic just really snarled up. So if you're coming out from before Kenner, you probably want to use 310. Everything out there is extra heavy as this backup has at one point had all three lanes shut down there inbound at Clearview. So just be alert to that and hang out with us and Keith Spira in 30 minutes.
And I just wanted to mention one other thing that we were talking about a half hour ago, how the three women from the state of New Hampshire have taken their case to the United States Supreme Court. And we're going to find out in October if the Supreme Court's going to rule on it. One woman got arrested in New Hampshire for doing yoga on the beach topless. They said she wasn't allowed, and she said, well, wait, men are doing yoga on the beach topless. Why can't I?
I've already contributed to her GoFundMe legal defense fund, by the way.
So when she got arrested, it made news up there in Laconia, New Hampshire. And so two other women then went and did yoga topless on the beach. They got arrested. So all three of them, they went through the New Hampshire court system up the ladder, and they lost in their right for equality. And they got to the New Hampshire Supreme Court, and they lost there, too. So now they're taking their case to the United States Supreme Court. And if you know anything about the Supreme Court, they only rule on the cases that they deem that are most important. I think like 99% of the or 98% of the cases that go to the people file to get to the Supreme Court, they want them to judge on that. They don't, because there's so many of them. They only rule on the ones they think are most important. Hopefully this one will be most important. And look, I think it's sexist here in the year 2019 for me to be able to, after this show, walk down Poydras Street with my shirt off because it's so damn hot in August in New Orleans and telling women that they can't. Isn't that sexist? And look, if the Supreme Court does rule on this, which I hope they do, and they do rule for nipple equality, because right now it's nipple inequality, I hope they do rule for nipple equality. That doesn't mean every woman is going to, especially women that maybe you would, many guys would want to see, doesn't mean they're going to do it, but at least they would have the right to do it. They would have the, and look, I'm tired of living in a sexist society.
Yes.
Women are equal to men, and especially when it comes...
Some are more equal than others.
And especially when it comes to bodies and such. Why are we allowed to walk around without shirts and they're not? Again, that's
I didn't say you should be allowed, but
that's what we were well, legally,
right?
That's what we were talking about last hour. And,
a handful of texts at 260-9595. Standard data and message rates apply. And don't text while driving. Although, if you're sitting in bumper to bumper traffic and you're stopped, I guess we could give you a pass. But don't tell anyone I said you could do that. Let's see. Mardi Gras would be different, I'm sure. I'm not sure what to yell. I've been yelling, show your, all my life. What do I say now? Let's see. Women could care less, or as I prefer, couldn't care less about men's nipples, where most men get aroused by women's nipples. That coming in via text. Another says, let them babies fly, love to show. I support that. Another says, people often confuse a right with an ability. Not sure about that one. And you're one more. You're welcome. Those crusty old farts won't have the guts to be cool and free the chest of women coast to coast. I just read these as they're in front of me. I try to edit for clarity, but it's hard sometimes.
Well, we'll know in October if the Supreme Court's going to rule on this. I hope they do. And if they do, again, women don't have to do this. You just have the option if you so choose. And I'm looking at the picture of these three New Hampshire women. One of them is very big. She's got a large stomach, a big gut, and she just happens to be doing the interview topless. And that's how I can see the gut. And she's got her hands over her nipples. And again, what's the big deal? So we'll see what happens in October.
Yes.
So there was something going around social media and the internet yesterday, how the federal government recommended that we all, Americans, should set our thermostat to 78 degrees, even in the summer, to save energy and to save money. And I said, huh? And I saw a lot of people on the internet going crazy. So a local news outlet decided to reach out to, it's called Energy Star. That's a federal government program. To ask them, is this true? And are you crazy? Have you been to New Orleans? Have you been to Louisiana in July and August? You want us to set the temperature while we're not home to 78 degrees and then we can cool off once we get home?
And see, this drives me absolutely insane. There is a libertarian slant to this as well, or a bent to this as well. I believe they want you to set it like 82 at night while you're sleeping. Is that right?
Anywhere from 82 to 85.
If you've ever slept next to me, yeah, you don't want me to be that hot.
This is crazy. And so these numbers went out there over the last couple of days. Here's what the federal government, Energy Star, which is a joint program of the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, and the Department of Energy. Here's what they say. Quote, the Energy Star program has not released a report on this topic. They were throwing some ideas out there.
Right.
The Energy Star program is not recommending that thermostats be set to 78 degrees Fahrenheit or any other temperature during the cooling season. And then this person went on to say, and her name is Melissa Sullivan, the Fed. She said, in order to save energy, the Energy Star website recommends owners of programmable thermostats increase the air conditioning temperature setting by 7 degrees Fahrenheit when homes are unoccupied. So you do the math. If you usually keep your house at what, 71, 72, you're up there in the upper 70s. And they recommend doing this.
Well, and one thing about the Energy Star program, I mean, make no mistake, it's the government's internal watchdog system to keep manufacturers in quote unquote compliance with various limits as far as, you know, you buy a washing machine and you can't, even though we recently bought a washing machine in the last year at Shea Brewster. And you can't, even though it has two options on how much water it uses, like it, one of the options is just to use a minimal amount of water. And then you switch it over and say, no, I want it to fill up like it did when you were a kid. Back in the day when I was a kid, you opened up the lid and you could actually watch the thing. It didn't have the little shutoff thing. I thought that was fun to watch the clothes wash. But even if you switch the damn thing over to full wash tub, it still doesn't fill up with water. And that's some sort of chip that's in the appliance's DNA, and that is the program. That's the I just said it. The name's escaping me. The star, the energy.
Energy.
It, Mrs. Brewster and I get into a discussion about this because during the summer months, she'll say, okay, yes, let's turn it up to 79 during the day. Well, the hottest part of the day here is generally sometime between 3 and 5 o'clock.
Late afternoon.
And then you come home and the house is like an oven. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll turn it down. Now you're causing the AC system to just keep cranking until what, midnight, until it cools off? That's why I have convinced her to keep it at 72. Now, when it's 95 outside for 8 straight weeks like it's been, does the house ever reach 72? No, but it doesn't do these wild fluctuations, and I disagree with Entergy and anybody else who says that you should do this up and down thing. No, pick a level and keep it there. And my preferred level would actually be 55, but I can't win that battle in my house.
Well, over the last day or two, this has made a lot of news. I saw a lot of people talking about it on Facebook and Twitter, and so people reached out to the feds, and they said, what? And they're saying, it's nothing official. We're just recommending set your temperature of your home 7 degrees higher when you're not home, and when you're sleeping, 4 degrees higher when the occupants are home and asleep.
Right.
So, but still, I like to keep it really cool because I like to get under the covers and I like to think that I'm in Alaska and I'm cold.
Boy, we're finding out a lot about you today.
Wow.
Yeah. I here's the problem with that. The EPA or Energy Star or whoever can come out and say, oh, no, we didn't say that. That's not to me. It's on social media, and it's got official-looking words with it, so people just kind of glance at it and says, no, you have to keep it at 79 starting today. It's just like the Facebook hoaxes. Starting today, Facebook is going to own your photos. Ah, I'm going to have a stroke.
Hey, coming up next, we're going to tell you about the guy who got arrested for smuggling a bunch of erectile dysfunction drugs into America from China. He just got a very stiff sentence. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Man sentenced to 8 years in prison for smuggling erectile dysfunction drugs from China. 8 years for that. Yes, that's a stiff sentence. It doesn't say here if he's going to be doing hard time or not.
See, when you mentioned that before the last song, I thought you said a reptile dysfunction. And I'm thinking, how can I have a reptile dysfunction?
Erectile.
Frog protection, right? You're saying frog protection.
No, erectile.
Frog protection.
I know I have a tooth issue. I've been going through some dental work. I understand that. But I said erectile dysfunction. A California man has been sentenced to 100 months, that's just over 8 years, in federal prison for smuggling prescription-grade erectile dysfunction drugs from China. You know, I hear, look, you go to Walmart, half the things you buy, more than half the things you buy are made in China. I hear they do wonders over there in China, in communist China, when it comes to the erectile dysfunction pills. This guy got 8 years. When he smuggled those drugs, and I wonder if he ever smuggled any of them in his pants. They say the authorities say he used those Chinese erectile dysfunction pills to make $11 million worth of pills laced with the drug. So much like other drugs, this guy would get, I guess, the prescription grade, the high quality erectile dysfunction pills. And then I guess when he got back to California, I guess he would break them down. You know, like cocaine dealers, they get the stuff that's like 90% pure, but then when they want to make money, they pour it all on the table and they'll add baking soda to it and they'll try to just stretch it out as much as they can.
I use Drano when I'm cutting my dope. But you
know. Well, this guy right here, when he was, I don't know what he was using to supplement the erectile dysfunction, but his name's John Lee, 41 years old, and he pleaded guilty to a conspiracy, smuggling contraband, and filing a false tax return. That's a whole other story. But he got 8 years in prison for smuggling all of these Chinese erectile dysfunction pills into America. How about that? Don't get any crazy ideas at home, kids.
Stay in school.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Keith Spira. He's the music writer from the New Orleans Advocate, Times-Picayune, and NOLA.com about last night's Queen concert here at the Smoothie King Center. That's next on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Queen there, and last night Queen played the Smoothie King Center, and I wanted to go, I didn't, but you know who went? Keith Spira. He's the music writer for the New Orleans Advocate, Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. Keith, how was the show?
It was very solid, as long as you kind of went through the process of the suspension of disbelief that was kind of required. You know, Adam Lambert, the new singer, he made a statement early in the show. He's like, I'm going to address the pink elephant in the room, as he put it. I'm not Freddie Mercury. And so he's not on any level. I mean, he's got a very impressive voice, but Freddie Mercury was so much of the personality of that band and the presence of that band. And, you know, he was its identity. So at times last night, I felt like I was watching sort of a Broadway musical of Queen. But there are other times when I'm like, oh yeah, that's really Queen. And I mean, man, Brian May still sounds remarkable on guitar. His solos, his riffs, all that stuff was right on. Roger Taylor, the original drummer, still able to do all the fills and kind of drive the songs. You know, the supporting cast they had around them was solid. So, yeah, you know, as far as a celebration of Queen's music, I thought it was a great night. But, you know, you weren't really seeing Queen, if that makes any sense.
Who played bass? Was it just a professional bass player that they grabbed, someone that most of us wouldn't know?
Yeah, it's a guy that's been with him for like 8 years. And interestingly enough, the keyboard player was this guy, Spike Edney, who's toured with Queen since 1984. So he was actually on stage at the Live Aid show, the famous Queen Live Aid performance, playing keyboards. So he's actually a holdover from the Freddie Mercury years, even though he was never an official member of the band.
What were the highlights of the show for you? And did they do all of the Queen songs that you wanted to hear?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they did, you know, Somebody Love, which you guys just played, which is certainly a great song. You know, they did Hammer to Fall, and Killer Queen, and Bicycle Race, and Another One Bites the Dust, and I Want It All, Under Pressure, I Want to Break Free, Tie Your Mother Down, Fat Bottom Girls, which is a great rocking song, Radio Gaga, so everybody was doing the little double hand clap thing above their heads that they did at Live Aid. Yeah, you know, I thought the set list was really solid. And again, you know, Adam Lambert is his own kind of creature. So he sang the parts well. I thought he was really good on like Crazy Little Thing Called Love. He did that sort of Elvis Presley imitation that Freddie Mercury used to do in the song. Really, one of the highlights for me was when Brian May did a solo performance of Love of My Life. It was just him and the acoustic guitar. And that's a song that Freddie Mercury wrote for his close friend and former fiance, Mary Austin. And now Brian does it as a tribute to Freddie. So he played it, and as he was playing it, a video of Freddie appeared on the screen. And so then Freddie started, quote-unquote, singing the song with Brian May. And that was kind of a goosebump moment. It was like, oh, my gosh, even on screen, Freddie Mercury is still such a huge presence.
Very cool. We're talking with Keith Spira. He's a music writer for the New Orleans Advocate, the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, about last night's Queen show. I saw yesterday it was sold out, they said. And so they sold it out, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, it sold out pretty early on. I think they were still selling a couple of tickets kind of up on the side of the stage last night. But it was packed. And you can always tell when all the suites in the arena are full, because there are some shows I go to and, you know, certain people have dibs on those suites, and a lot of times there are some that are dark, but they were all full last night. I mean, Queen, no version of Queen has played New Orleans in 41 years. You know, they played the Municipal Auditorium in 1978, and then later that night had this infamous party at the Fairmont Hotel, which is now the Roosevelt. That was kind of the launch party for their jazz album. And, you know, there are pictures from this party online of Freddie Mercury signing, like, naked backsides of strippers that were at the party and all this kind of craziness. It was like the classic 70s decadent rock and roll party at the Fairmont. So as far as I can tell, I don't think the band has been back since then. So there's a lot of pent-up demand here for them, you could say.
What some may not know is that their drummer, Roger Taylor, he's the guy, the second voice in that band. He's the guy who always harmonized with Freddie Mercury. Roger Taylor, pretty underrated guy. Was his voice was a spotlight on that last night?
You know, he sang a couple of things. He sang the David Bowie parts in Under Pressure. I thought he kind of struggled on that. I mean, his voice has gotten a little craggier than back in the day. I mean, you know, granted, he's 70 years old. Mm-hmm. And he's singing and playing drums at the same time. His voice, you know, he struggled a little bit with the vocals, but drum-wise, he still carried the load, you know, absolutely.
I'm kicking myself. I didn't go with you, Keith Spira, or at least go, because you said they were done by pretty much 10:30. It's a school night, I always say, during the week, and we got to get up really early in the morning. But you did it, and I'm kicking myself now. I could have done it, too.
Yeah, I appreciate shows that the main act, there was no opening act. I mean, the main act was on at 8:15, and they were done at, you know, 10:22. So I was back home and writing at, 10:45, which is, yes, as you say, quite a luxury on a school night. They played, you know, a little over 2 hours. And like I said, there were 26 or so, 27 songs on the set list. You know, as far as a celebration of Queen's music, I thought it was a great night. And, I mean, really, I left there thinking, you know, I should listen to more Queen around the house, because there really is. You know, the songs are really put together well, and, you know, the guitar parts are solid, and Freddie Mercury's voice incredible. So, you know, if that was the point to give you a renewed appreciation for the music of Queen, then I thought last night certainly accomplished that.
And it's incredible what that movie Bohemian Rhapsody did for this band. It really is, all these years later.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of strange. Like, I thought it was odd that they recreated the whole Live Aid performance at the end of that movie. You know, we have the actual footage of the real band at Live Aid, so it's not like, you know, they were doing a movie about the Battle of Gettysburg, and, you know, we don't really have footage of that, so you got to recreate it. But, so it was interesting that they did that, letter-perfect recreation of the Live Aid performance in the movie, but, you know, I guess they needed a way to end it. And in a way, at times, that's kind of what it felt like last night. I was watching, you know, a really lovingly done recreation of Queen, even if it wasn't exactly the real thing. But it was still, you know, quite a celebration of the music, just like the movie was.
Last quick question. Did Adam Lambert wear a wife beater like Freddie Mercury used to wear?
No, he went the other direction. He wore very elaborate, lavish costumes, including a fringe and rhinestone vest that was quite eye-popping, shall we say.
Well, he's a flamboyant guy. So there you go.
He played it up. You can read about it and see pictures on NOLA.com. The review's up now. So.
There he is. If you're not familiar with him, read him. He's the music writer, Keith Spira, from the New Orleans Advocate, Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. As always, Keith, thank you for coming on our show.
You bet. Get out to the show next time.
You got it. here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. All right, coming up next, it's our commercial-free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You know, just listening to that Pink Floyd song, it got me thinking how I just saw an interview with Roger Waters. I watched a video on YouTube how he and David Gilmour battled about the song Comfortably Numb, which is one of Pink Floyd's most popular songs. And
he's certainly not the only one they battled on.
No, but what's interesting about that one, Brewster, is Gilmour wrote the song, but they put it on the album that basically Roger Waters wrote, The Wall.
Right.
And so they were arguing about how to record it, and they went back and forth. And Waters basically said that this is one of the few things where David and I agree that our memories are correct, that I won that argument. Because I guess Gilmour wanted
a little more grungy, I guess. That word wouldn't exist in 1978, 79. But
yeah,
like a little more distorted, maybe like a little more, a little faster tempo-wise. But you and I were talking, and I've said this to everybody in analyzing that song. In Comfortably Numb, it's the I don't know if it's the cello notes, but da 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 that gives you that swirling kind of feeling, like one's out of fever. It's just, and it, that's what to me makes that song.
It's something though. I could just imagine them sitting at the soundboard, and one of them has one idea how they think this song should sound, and then the other has another idea about how they think that. And they used to battle like that about a lot of their songs. And then we go back and listen to them now. They pretty much sound perfect. They sound, so many of the Pink Floyd songs sound awesome. Just fascinating in the creative, putting it all together. That's, they were driving each other crazy when they did that.
Well, and in the real earlier days, 10 years hence or prior of Pink Floyd, Yoko would stick her head in the door and she'd have a damn opinion at Abbey Road Studios. So there you go.
Couple of things here. 2/3 of American employees regret their college degrees. Regret them. Now, a college education is still considered a pathway to higher lifetime earnings and gainful employment for Americans. But I was just reading where 2/3 of employees report having regrets when it comes to their advanced degrees, according to a survey done by PayScale. And they surveyed about 250,000 Americans this past spring. And this their findings were just released yesterday. I mean, student loan debt now in America, it's about $1.6 trillion. $1.6 trillion. And you know what the problem is? And I guarantee you some of these people majored in things that, well, where are you going to go with that major? You know, oh, I majored in gender studies.
Well,
look, I like to study. I like to study one gender more than the other, personally, but. I mean, you got a bunch of people coming out of colleges with gender studies degrees. How many jobs are out there for people to study gender?
Well, you picked an example which may not be as good. I know what you're saying. It's like, what was your major? Well, I majored in purple polka dotted butterflies. Well, good luck with that. How are you going to advance that? But gender studies and gender relations may actually have more of a, if you take a forward looking approach at it, may actually be.
But is it going to get me a job where I could support my kids and my family?
Maybe down the road. I don't know. They always said. And they still say math and science, math and science, math and science, math and science. They just never go away.
But there are so
many. My two least favorite subjects in high school, math and science.
There are so many majors now in colleges, even the really great colleges, the universities that are in the Ivy League and really good schools. But you look at what some of, I mean, you know, psychology or sociology? I mean, is there a ton of work out there for people that major in stuff like that?
Well, but it's never going away. It's like if you want a job that is never, ever, ever going away, be a garbage man. Do something in the custodial arts.
Well, but that's the thing.
But it's, you got to pick something that's never going away. And this, the science of the mind and the brain, that's never going away.
But there are many jobs, Brewster, that we need, that we need right now in America. We need those jobs filled. But they don't require college degrees. They may require, you know, an apprenticeship or, you know, to be a plumber. To
another position that's never going away.
Exactly, to be an electrician.
Sure.
You know, you go to an apprentice, you study, you learn how to do that. You don't need a four-year college degree where you're studying what's happening in Eastern African nations to be an expert on that, gender studies, sociology. You know, people are coming out of college, all it is debt. They got this degree. Is it going to be able to feed them? Is the degree going to be able to put a roof over their head?
People listening are screaming at the radio saying, no, it's not working. It didn't work. And can I change my major? I want to change my major. And I didn't even go to college.
That's why I found this very interesting, how two-thirds of American employees now regret their college degrees. And I mean, if you have the means, or you did whatever it took to get into college, sure, college is a fantastic experience. Obviously, but if you get some sort of degree that people aren't kicking doors down to hire people with those degrees, then you come out with the college debt, a degree you can't really use. And again, we could always use more plumbers and more people to do stuff like that, but then you miss out on the college experience, whatever. And I got one other thing here I wanted to mention. Man-made more than $1 million in scam using fake barcodes at big box retailers. How about this?
What?
Now, I wonder if this guy went to college.
Here.
I wonder if this guy went to college. This story's out of Indiana. Police say the man accused of running a $1 million shoplifting scam is finally behind bars. Court documents said that this guy targeted places like Walmart and Target, and then sold the items online. At Target in Carmel, Indiana, a suspect walked...
A well-to-do, upscale suburb north of Indianapolis.
A suspect walked to the toy aisle, picked up a Lego Star Wars set worth $169, slapped a fake barcode on the box, and checked it out for $20.
It's like that old Saturday Night Live sketch where you can buy your own price gun, and you can get a case of T-bone steaks for the low, low price of 4 cents.
Well, this is what this guy was doing, and they claim that this guy did this countless times, spanning nearly a decade at Target and Walmart stores there. And other Indiana towns besides Carmel, Fishers, Avon, and Plainfield.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, 35-year-old Ryan Walker, they figure he pocketed more than $1 million by just walking into these stores. He had his own barcodes on them.
But see, that doesn't wash with me. I can't wrap my mind around it because all of that inventory has to be stored in a computer. So how many times have you gone and checked something out and it's like, UPC can't be read or not on file or whatever, and somebody's got to go find out how much it is, or they may do the honor system and ask you how much you thought it is. See, that doesn't, I'm not sure about that.
Customer service at aisle four. That's usually what happens when that happens.
Well, it's cleanup on aisle four. So I'm gonna have to read more into that.
Well,
I'm taking notes here.
This guy bought a $200 Sonicare toothbrush at Walmart for just $24.97.
All right, because scans it and it's got his own barcode, from what database is that pulling that particular price? He would have to hack into their system. It's not just a matter of having a fake barcode stamped on something.
Well, he obviously knew what to do for upwards of a decade. Well, he got away with it.
I want to know how he did it.
Well, I don't know. They're not putting it here in big capital letters for everybody else to read on the internet.
Independent research. I know what I'm doing today.
Well, thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Ginty is coming up next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.